98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Burns and Gambo, the 4 o'clock reset. Brought to you by Collins Comfort Masters, proud home services partner of the Arizona Cardinals. 4 o'clock reset.
Top stories of the day here on the Burns and Gambo Show. We give them to you every day at 4 o'clock at the halfway point of the Burns and Gambo Show. We'll get you caught up on all the Cardinals injury news in just a moment. First, Suns owner Robert Sarver joined us earlier today. Did not clearly want to discuss the contract situation of DeAndre Ayton. He did say a couple of things. He doesn't think that it's going to be a distraction for DeAndre Ayton over these next few days or over the course of the season.
Well, I mean, I can't speak for DeAndre, but I think he made his goals clear at Media Day in terms of what he wanted to try to accomplish this year. And he's had direct communications with our organization. Recently, and he's all in, and I'm not concerned about that.
We did have Robert Sarver on several weeks ago, and that was before Chris Paul had re-signed with the organization. He expressed confidence then that Chris Paul would re-sign. A few days later, he did. So we asked him today if he has the same confidence that Ayton will get done 5 days before the deadline.
I'm not going to talk about it anymore.
And that was the conversation that we had with Robert Sarver today.
Yeah, I mean, it's probably, I can understand his frustration, right? I mean, they want to, you know, they would, you know, they get the hearing it from the fans. The fans want to make sure this team sticks together. The fans have their doubts about, you know, Robert's ability to get this done from the past, not from the future, from the current, but from the past. They've got some doubts, and a deal's not done yet. And then you hear DeAndre speak out, and you hear the talks have stalled, and you know, all of that stuff plays a factor. So I'm sure it's very frustrating for Robert and James to have to talk about this, you know, this extension. That is with 5 days to the deadline is not done yet.
Yeah, October 18th, the deadline. There was a report from TMZ Sports, and that includes photographs of Robert Sarver and DeAndre Ayton meeting at the Sanctuary Resort on Monday night for what looked like a conversation there. You asked Robert about that. He didn't want to comment on it either. The Suns themselves, the actual basketball team, wrapping up their final preseason game of the schedule today. They're dominating the Blazers. They're up 40 points with about 4.5 minutes to go in that game. Devin Booker got the start today. His only preseason game action, 17 points in 18 minutes of action. I would say D-Book is probably ready for the season opener.
I like that Book only played in one preseason game.
Me too.
I kind of like that.
Me too.
Yeah.
The reason the Suns are playing right now is because another doubleheader of basketball in downtown Phoenix today, the Mercury. Game two of the WNBA Finals taking place tonight in downtown Phoenix as the Chicago Sky look to take a 2-0 series lead over the Merc. I would imagine they're going to be a little better well-rested tonight talking about the Mercury. That was a real quick turnaround from the Western Conference Finals into the WNBA Finals for them.
Yeah, it really was. And that was an exciting, match with Vegas to beat that team the way they did. And the block shot by Brittany Griner at the end of the game that sealed the win for them and sent them to the WNBA Finals. And then they laid an egg in that first game. Didn't play very well.
Yeah, they did. So that game is coming up tonight. And on the baseball front, it's a quiet night tonight because there's no baseball. Everything else has been settled. The only game we're waiting on is Game 5 tomorrow between the Giants and the Dodgers, with the Braves waiting for the winner in the National League Championship Series, Gambo.
Yeah, I mean, the Dodgers, they jumped on San Francisco early. They got a couple runs, knocked the starting pitcher out in, I think, the second inning. And then they just, cruised to that victory last night. So, I think the two young kids are going for the Dodgers and the Giants in this next game. So it'll be interesting to see Giants at home if they can pull this off and knock off the Dodgers.
Yep, the Braves got in on a Freddie Freeman game-winning home run against the Brewers to eliminate Milwaukee. So the Final Four is all set. In the American League, it's Houston versus Boston. And in the National League, it's going to be the Braves versus the winner of tomorrow's Game 5. But our top story of the day on the Burns and Gambo Show comes to us from the Arizona Cardinals. And a long, long injury list of guys who were not able to go in practice today. And quite frankly, two key guys who have already basically been ruled out for Sunday's game against Cleveland. The guy who has for sure been ruled out is starting center Rodney Hudson. Cliff Kingsbury said he is not available this week.
Rodney Hudson, he won't be available this week.
Asked if he is considered week to week at this point.
That's what I would say as of today, yep.
So specific details on how long this injury might take for him to get over, we don't have them. we know he's not going to be available this week, and that's a major loss for the Cardinals, obviously.
No question. I mean, his addition has been, you know, the veterans that they added, and give Steve Keim all the credit in the world. He brought in good players. A.J. Green, good player. Rodney Hudson, great player. You know, J.J. Watt, I mean, he doesn't have a sack, but damn, he's been good in a bunch of these games, done a really good job for them. I mean, he's added some good players. James Conner, and how good he's been. Now, you know, Max Garcia can handle the role at backup center. I mean, he'll come in and he'll play, and he's a solid player. He's got a lot of starts under his belt. That's not a bad guy to have as your backup. But the depth starts to get challenged a little bit. I mean, it starts to get Joshua Myles on IR and Justin Murray on IR. And when you think about the blocking game, too, you got to include Max Williams in there. You have to, because that's, you know, most of the responsibility for Max Williams is blocking and helping the run game. So, you know, I count that. I count that as part of getting that run game going, not having Max, not having Myles, not having Murray, not having, you know, Hudson in this game. They're definitely have been challenged with the depth that they have.
Yep, Cliff, that's a good point to bring up Max and how they're going to block, because you look at pressure percentage, and the Browns have two of the very best in the game in Myles Garrett and Jadeveon Clowney. Now, we'll see about their availability, too. So with Hudson out, here's Cliff talking about whether the scheme is going to be any different this weekend.
I don't know scheme, but I'm not sure if you can replace him as far as helping the plays be effective. I mean, he was such a great presence for us in pass protection and in the run game. It's hard to account for not having him in there as a play caller.
As far as Chandler Jones goes, we reported yesterday he's on the COVID list. It was confirmed today. And Cliff Kingsbury, because Chandler Jones is showing symptoms of COVID, does not think Chandler's going to play this week.
I mean, I hope so, but yeah, how I've seen it go so far, I think that would be a stretch.
Everyone's vaccinated on the team. Cliff reiterated that again today. And if he produces two negative tests within 24 hours, then he's eligible to play, but he's also got to be asymptomatic. And if he's showing symptoms, then exactly.
I mean, come on. We could call this now. He's not going to play. He's got symptoms now. We're Wednesday, and the game's on Sunday, and he's got symptoms. Two negative tests, then be asymptomatic. I mean, plus you got to care about the players too,
yes,
right? I mean, you can't just throw them out there. I mean, they're players. These guys have families and they have lives, and you got to take care of them. And I think that this organization's done a great job of caring for their players. And I don't think they'll rush Chandler Jones out there if he's not ready to play, you know, just to win a football game. This isn't the NFC Championship game. I mean, this is you're 5-0, and if you lose a game, you lose a game. I mean, you don't want to, but you know, you got to err on the side of caution. And again, I mean, you want to have a reputation as an organization that takes care of their players. They're not going to rush Chandler Jones out. Even if he has the two negative tests, they're not going to rush him out there just to play in this game if he's, you know, if he hasn't been able to practice and he's not 100%.
Yeah, 100%. Byron Murphy, Marco Wilson, also day-to-day.
Still day-to-day. We're getting them out there, moving them around. There's definitely been progression, but not sure how it's going to play out as the week goes on.
So here's your list. I've got the injury report today in front of me. Here are the guys who did not practice today. Jordan Hicks did not practice. DeAndre Hopkins didn't practice due to what's being called an illness. Rodney Hudson obviously didn't practice. He's been ruled out. Byron Murphy didn't practice. Corey Peters didn't practice, but that's being listed as just a rest day. Tanner Vallejo didn't practice. Marco Wilson didn't practice. The limited guys included Kelvin Beachum, Darrell Daniels, Chase Edmonds. And interestingly, Kyler Murray was listed on the report as being limited in today's practice.
Shoulder, right?
With a shoulder. Because remember, the TV cameras caught them kind of working on his shoulder or his arm a little bit on the sideline during the 49ers game. So he was limited in today's practice. Now, the Browns injury list, man, that's a mile long. Nick Chubb, Jadeveon Clowney, Jack Conklin, Myles Garrett, Kareem Hunt, David Njoku, Malcolm Smith, J.C. Treader. I mean, I go on and on. There were guys who were limited. Those were just the guys who didn't practice.
On injured reserve yesterday.
Yeah.
And they signed two guys from the practice squad. So one of their offensive linemen, Chris Hubbard, their cornerback, M.J. Stewart, and the fullback, Andy Janovich. Those guys were all placed on IR. So, yeah, you're right. They're dealing with a ton of injuries as well. And, you know, Landry doesn't look like he's ready to come back right now. He did a little running and stuff, but Jarvis Landry is eligible to return this week, but I doubt he'd be activated for the game if he hasn't practiced, coming off of a knee injury, so we'll see how that goes.
Yep, you can text us your thoughts on injuries and how it's going to impact this game or whatever you want, really. The FanDuel text line is open for you at 620-620 right now. But when we come back on the Burns and Gambo show, for the most part, the Cardinals' defense has been good, really, really good this year, except for one area. And unfortunately for this weekend, it's the one area that Cleveland is really, really good at. We'll talk about that next on the Burns and Gambo show. Statistically speaking, and I'll take the simplest stat out there when it comes to defining how good a defense is.
Okay.
The Arizona Cardinals have been one of the best defenses so far in the National Football League by the simple metric of points per game allowed. There are only five teams who have allowed fewer points per game than the Arizona Cardinals so far. The amazing Buffalo Bills, who are just giving up 13 points per game. That's absurd. The Broncos at 15. The Panthers at 17.5. The Saints at 18. The Patriots at 18.5. Then the Cardinals, 19 points per game. So to sit here and complain too much about the defense, you know, they're 5-0, and statistically, they're a top six defense in points per game. But if we're nitpicking, Gambo, if we're going to nitpick, the run defense continues to be kind of a soft spot for the Cards. And that could be a problem this weekend in Cleveland.
I looked at it's amazing because I looked at a top 10 MVP candidate. You know, it kind of caught my eye, and I don't know why I clicked on it, because you know how much I hate these things. But I did, and number 10 was Derrick Henry. And I'm thinking to myself, man, Derrick Henry, since the Cardinal game, he's been feeding, right? He's been feasting. Man, the Cardinals shut him down like it was nothing. They shut him down, Derrick Henry. He did nothing against him.
Yeah.
And it's amazing to see that, you know, the Cardinals' run defense, you know, is an issue. Listen, they're not a perfect defense. What they are is they're a good defense. They're not a bend-but-break defense either. I mean, what they did to San Francisco last week, what they've done to some of these teams they played, they're not a bend but don't break defense. And there are some defenses out there that they are bend but don't break. The Cardinals just have a good defense. I think said this after the 49er game. I think Vance Joseph put himself in a position to maybe get another head coaching job. With how I don't want to lose him. I love the continuity, but he's done such a phenomenal job with this group that I think he might get some interviews for a head coaching job if this stuff keeps up. Why have they struggled with, you know, with the run game? It's a good question. I don't know. I mean, but they have, you know, given up quite a lot of yards. The only quarterback that ran a lot against them, I think, was Trey Lance this past week, right? I mean, it wasn't anybody. I mean, Stafford didn't run on him, and Cousins didn't really. I don't think Cousins really ran on him that much. So
no, it was pretty much just Lance. It was just Lance.
I think teams want to run the ball more against Arizona because of usually when you play in a high powered offense, you want to run the ball a little bit more because you want to keep that high powered offense off the field. Mm-hmm. And maybe this is it. I'd have to do a deep dive into. You take it, and this is how you would do it. You would take a team, any of the five teams they played, what was their run percentage against the Cardinals, and what is it against everybody else? And if it shows that they're running more against the Cardinals, I think that kind of leads to the fact that, you know, you've got a high-powered offense, and you want to rest your defense because they're on the field a lot, because the Cardinals have long drives, and they're good. So I think that's part of why teams are probably running a little bit more against Arizona.
It would be something that's worth looking into. Look, I'm not going to sit here and try to make excuses for the Cardinals' rush defense. They are, you know, 28th in the league in yards per game. They're 31st in the league in yards per attempt they're allowing. I mean, those numbers kind of paint a story. What I'm about to tell you is more the eye test for me. And in watching every single minute of every single Cardinals game this year, what I've seen is Week one, Derrick Henry shut down, and he's killed everybody else, as you pointed out. Week two, Dalvin Cook killed him in the first half. Now, he got hurt, but the Cardinals adjusted to that, and somewhere in the middle of him getting hurt and the Cardinals' adjustments were a very limited second half with him running the football. Week three, Jacksonville ran the ball, if I remember right, effectively on one drive the whole game. And other than that, they really couldn't do a whole lot in terms of rushing the football. They're Jacksonville, actually, after all. Week four, kind of the same thing. I don't think the Rams ran that ball all that well against the Cardinals, but they had one drive in particular where they were giving it to Darrell Henderson every time, and he was picking up 9 or 10 yards, it felt like, every time. And then last week against the Niners, well, of course they're going to run it a bunch. They're starting a rookie quarterback who's having some accuracy issues, making his first ever NFL start, problems throwing the ball down the field, and he's very, very fast. So, of course, they're going to – and I'm bringing all this up to kind of paint this picture of, yeah, statistically, the numbers aren't great, but if you look at it from a game-by-game basis, I don't know if it's been as bad as the numbers would make it out to be when it comes to the Cards'
Jacksonville,
rush defense.
Jacksonville, and I don't remember if you said this. I listened to everything you said, but the Jaguars had that one 8-play, 75-yard drive that was all runs in that game. It put them up 19-10. That was a backbreaking drive by the Jaguars. They had one drive, and it was all runs.
Yep.
They went 75 yards on 8 plays. Every single play was a running play, and that stood out. Like, oof, man, how did they do that? You know, and that put them up 19-10. The Cardinals were able to come back and win the game. They didn't score another point. But that stood out in the Jacksonville game, that they couldn't stop the run on that drive. So I think what you're saying is that there's moments in games,
yes,
where they don't play great run defense, but it's not the whole game.
Because if I remember my stats right, take out that one drive against Jacksonville, and I think the Cardinals gave up about 4 yards a carry the rest of the game. But that one drive was so bad because it was nothing but run plays, and they just marched down the field, and the Rams' result was kind of, now the Rams were playing from behind. They kind of had to abandon the run anyway, so I get that. Again, and I'm not trying to paint this overly optimistic, rosy picture about the Cardinals' rush defense. The stats are what they are, and they say it's been bad. The reason it matters this week is you're playing against the Browns team, the most rushing attempts in the NFL, the most rushing yards per game in the NFL, the most yards per attempt in the NFL, the most rushing touchdowns in the NFL. You had more stats in your email about it's the tied for first in rushes of 10-plus yards. They're first in rushing first downs. They've ran for at least 150 yards in all 5 games this season. Yep. That's the longest streak since before you or I were born. I mean, it's just on and on. Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt.
Wait.
What?
I think I was born.
67? Sorry.
Yeah, okay, sorry. Okay, you weren't born. I was born.
I was giving you the benefit of the doubt. Does that count for something?
Sometimes you got to embrace it, man. You got to accept who you are.
I was thinking you were born in 68. My bad. I'm sorry.
I was born in 66.
Oh, yeah, you were definitely born. Yeah. You were definitely born
the last time.
Born.
Yeah.
Sorry, Campo.
I know my wife is on her way to baseball practice with Q right now, listening, and she probably appreciates that comment.
I'm trying.
Should we hit the breaking news sounder that Gambo has been born? Bernsey's like, oh yeah, you've been born. You've been born. You've been, yeah. It's official. Gambo's been born.
No, I don't think that's breaking news soundbite worthy, but Chelsea, I'm sure, does appreciate the fact that I'm trying to make you out to be younger than you actually are.
We get enough comments about our age difference, so you know, anytime you want to make me a little bit younger, Bernsey, I'm all for it.
Trying to help you out. These Cleveland Browns run the ball extremely effectively, and the Cardinals' rush defense has got to be better than what it's been, and they know it. Corey Peters was talking today about how stopping the run is such a big deal, especially against a guy like Nick Chubb.
It's not often that you find somebody that has all the tools, and Nick Chubb is a powerful guy. He's got good speed, he's got good balance, good vision, good understanding of how running the ball works, setting up blocks and things like that. So I think that's really the challenge. He's just such a well-rounded back, and we got to get a lot of people to him. He breaks a lot of tackles on tape, and we really have a lot of respect for both of those running backs. So we know we have our hands full, and it's going to be a great challenge for us.
Yep, big challenge.
Yeah, it is. I mean, you know, I told you earlier, I really remember, you know, in the mid-'80s, and I was born then too, in the mid-'80s, they had, you know, Mack and Beiner, and those two guys were just so dominant runners. And I remember the Browns very well from that era, because I had one of my best friends, Frank, was a huge Browns fan, still is, loves the Browns. And, you know, we used to watch some of the Browns games, and, yeah, Mack and Beiner were just two dominant backs at that time, you know, for Cleveland. And I think that's kind of what they have right now. I mean, Chubb is a lot better than Hunt, But they like Hunt. They like to get him the ball as well. So they lead the league, like you said, in almost every major rushing category, and that's going to be a challenge for Vance is how do you slow down that running game? I mean, it probably can't stop it, but how could you slow down this duo that's on a historic pace?
ASU controls their fate when it comes to winning the Pac-12 South. As it stands right now, they have the opportunity to do something that's never been done before in the Pac-12 South. We'll tell you what it is next on the Burns and Gambo Show. Get an update on our Twitter poll question of the day. For that, we've got Jordan Bird here with us on the Burns and Gambo Show.
Burns and Gambo need to know Twitter poll update presented by Sanderson Ford.
Just kept on talking about that scary Browns running game and how they're the best in the NFL across several categories. So it's led to our Twitter poll question of the day. What do you have for us?
Yeah, that's actually just one of a few things that might have Arizona Cardinal fans a little concerned about Sunday's game. And that's our question today. What is your biggest concern about the Cardinals game against the Browns? Is it the injuries for the Arizona Cardinals? Is it the rushing attack for Cleveland or the pass rush coming from the Browns defense?
Gambo, I know you were tempted to go with the pass rush.
I was. I mean, that's a good pass rush.
Yeah, it's one of the best in the NFL, actually, especially with those two guys when healthy, Jadeveon Clowney and Myles Garrett. They bring crazy, crazy pressure on the quarterback. Yeah.
Garrett leads the NFL in sacks, and he's tied for second with pressures. So he's a beast. He went healthy. He's a great player.
Yeah, a lot of people think he is the leading candidate right now for Defensive Player of the Year with how he's played. And Jadeveon Clowney has maybe not the same sack total, but certainly has provided the pressure. But ultimately, you went with the rushing attack for the Browns, and so did I, right?
Yes.
Okay. Yep.
You guys are in the minority. Really? 67% are concerned about the injuries to the Cardinals roster. 28% is concerned about Cleveland's rushing attack. And only 5% is giving the Browns pass rush their due.
Wow. Oh, that's... Wait. Hold on. 28% for the rushing attack and 5% for the pass rush?
Correct.
Okay, no, we both said... The running attack.
I know, but I'm just saying. I mean, Gambo was talking about what the pass rush can do.
Yeah, that's in the minority.
Cardinal fans not too keen on that right now.
Yeah, because last week with only 2.5 seconds to throw the ball, Kyler Murray somehow was 14 out of 15.
That's true.
What pass rush? Who cares?
Yeah.
I mean, do you even need an offensive line? Just drop back, one, two, throw the ball.
Hey, easy.
No, I mean, that blew me away last week. I mean, you know, you think Kyler Murray had. Had Kyler Murray played last week, he was okay. Nobody talked about it. No national shows talked about Kyler as MVP. He must not have had a great game. And then you're breaking out, hey, with 2.5 seconds or less to throw, Kyler Murray was 14 out of 15. And when under duress, he was 5 of 8 for over 100 yards. Yeah, okay. Whatever. Yep. Pass rush. It can never be pass rush. So if the kid's reading defenses and getting rid of the ball quickly, I don't know that anybody's pass rush were. What did Aaron Donald do against the Cardinals?
Nothing. He had his worst pass rush grade in his entire NFL career. It's actually what
Zero.
He did. He had his worst game.
It's Stugatz against the Cardinals. So, I don't know. Yeah. It has to be last pass rush.
All right. ASU, Saturday night against Utah. Yeah, let's go.
Let's go, ASU. Let's get this done.
This is a big one.
I want to watch a Rose Bowl.
Since the Pac-12 split into two divisions when Utah and Colorado showed up, there has never been an unbeaten South Division champ. The South winner has been 8-1, 7-2. There's even been a 6-3 Pac-12 South winner. But there has never been a perfect 9-0 undefeated Pac-12 South champion. I don't know if ASU's going to get there or not. I know they don't need to get there to get where they want to go with the Rose Bowl. But I also know this. As we've said many times, beating Utah has virtually nobody else has virtually any chance of winning the Pac-12 South. If ASU wins this game on Saturday night, it's almost a lock.
Yeah, I was even in the Salt Lake Tribune. This is what they said in the Salt Lake Tribune. If Arizona State wins at Rice-Eccles Stadium on Saturday night, it'll be very hard for anyone else to win the South Division in advance of the Pac-12 championship game. We've talked about this. Devils would be 4-0 in the Pac-12, and they have the tiebreakers over the Utes and the Bruins, who are the only other contenders right now. So if Utah loses this game, they're two games behind. If UCLA loses at Washington, that gives the Bruins two league losses, so they might as well be three games behind Arizona State. So This is a huge game. It's a huge game. Now, Utah wins this game, and, you know, they're in a great spot, and Arizona State's not. But you still think that they could lose a game. I think ASU is going to win the Pac-12. I really do. They're set up to win it this year. I didn't like the way they played in their three non-conference games. I did not like the way they played against Southern Utah, and I didn't like the way they played against UNLV, and I didn't like the way they played against BYU. I didn't like the way they played in those games. But since then, they're playing good football.
Yeah, these last 2 weeks they've played. And it's easy to say, but it's also obvious. They've played their best football. They've been playing out of their minds the last couple of weeks. The penalties have gotten so much better. The running game has been impressive. The defense has been dominant so far. They've played. I mean, what they've done, especially in the second halves of these games, that second half against UCLA was an eye-opening experience. What did they outscore them? 18-0. They shut out the Bruins.
They're
in the
a great second half
of
the team.
They have been a very good second half team for most of the season. That's been one of their defining characteristics. Look, there's two schools of thought here, there's the Rose Bowl option, which I think it would be the one. I mean, it's 25 years to the day that they were last in the Rose Bowl. So if they could,
is Juan Roque that old now?
Yeah, well, yeah. Jake Plummer's
Juan.
That old. Uh huh. Right.
Man, my boy Juan Roque. He makes him like 45 years old, maybe older.
He's
a fun team. That was a fun team.
Keith
Poole, Juan Roque.
I'll tell you right now.
J.R. Redman, that was a fun team.
We were joking about making you sound old earlier. I'm going to make myself sound old because I covered that team, and I was lucky enough to be at the Rose Bowl that night as a journalist working in the media, not there as a fan. And I'd tell you, Gambo, you and I have covered a lot of teams, a lot of great moments over all the years that we've been doing it. I don't know if I've ever had more fun than covering that Rose Bowl team for ASU 25 years ago. Every single Saturday was an absolute gift. It was so much fun.
I had just moved here.
Did you?
I had just moved here. And I got to see some of those games and go to some of those. Like, you know, I just moved to Arizona.
The UCLA game, the USC game, the Nebraska game, the you know, Bruce Snyder with a, you know, somebody putting a rose in his pocket after they won one of the games. I mean, it's just all my memories from that season. And then going to Pasadena, going to the Rose Bowl, you know, watching Show Tremaine and David Boston at the end break everybody's heart.
Right.
If they can get back.
It's been 25 years since they've been to bowl games that people care about. And listen, I'm not against the bowl format. I actually like the bowl format, reward for the players to go to a bowl game and go to someplace else. But the mediocrity, I mean, you know, basically it's been mediocrity ever since. They haven't, you want to be a program that could get there more than once every decade. Even once every 10 years is not enough. I mean, you got to be better than that. So you want to be a top three program, you know, for 3 or 4 out of 5 years. And if you have a slip here and there because you lose a lot of seniors, okay. But that's the thing with this team. This team is senior laden. This team has all the experience. They're not going to be the same next year. They're going to lose everybody.
Yeah.
And then who knows if Herm retires or goes away and what's going to happen with the investigation. It is all set up for ASU this year to go to the Rose Bowl.
And
it's all set up.
And if they can win this game on Saturday, they put themselves in such a commanding position to, at the very least, get into the Pac-12 championship game. And if they're there and can win that game, regardless of their record, and we can talk about the college football Final Four and the playoff and all that, and there's still a chance for that. But for me, the Rose Bowl is the main talking point.
Yeah, you got your focus on that.
And you just get into that Pac-12 championship game, and anything can happen if you're able to get into that. Winning Saturday night would be a huge step on that front. Huge step.
Totally agree.
They could do it. Yep.
Yeah. What time's the game this weekend?
7 o'clock, Gambo.
7 o'clock. Yeah, 7 o'clock.
Yeah. 7 o'clock. Yeah. Thanks. It's a high-profile game. They want eyeballs on it.
7 o'clock. Every freaking game, 7 o'clock.
Well,
play before 7.
The good news is
12,
is the two, next week, three. They're not playing at 7 o'clock.
Is that?
That's because they're on the bye.
They're bye. That's
yeah,
the bye.
They're off that week. Texas, your thoughts on ASU's chances this weekend and the rest of the season.
O'clock.
The FanDuel text line is open at 620-620.
Play at 3.
Right now. You see, you're not doing yourself any favor. You make yourself sound old 12. When you talk about not being able to stay up late and watch these games. So, you know, if you're trying to sound young, you're not doing it here.
No, I watched the whole game Friday night.
Yeah, you just got to stay up for it. Yeah.
It's like I would like an earlier game once in a while.
When we come back yesterday, Cardinals added a new tight end to help make up for the loss of Max Williams. Does that mean they're done beefing up that position? That's coming up on the Burns and Gambo Show. This morning, before Cliff Kingsbury had met with the media or made any kind of an announcement, Max Williams, the Cardinals tight end, took to Twitter and wrote, quote, "I just want to say thank you to everyone who has reached out with support. Your thoughts and prayers mean more to me and my family than words can explain. This is just a speed bump, not a roadblock for my career. Looking forward to being back and stronger next year." Then, about 2 hours after he tweeted that out, Cliff Kingsbury got behind the mic and provided this update on Max Williams.
Yeah, he'll be out. Yeah, he'll be out. IR.
You know what the extent of that is yet?
Yeah, but I don't want to get into that at this point. Yeah, but he'll be done for the season.
Okay, so confirming he's done for the season. Doesn't want to get into the extent of the injury, what specifically it is. We all saw it with our own eyes. It looked awful. It was terrible. And so confirmed Max Williams done for the season. You reported yesterday Rashard Rogers and the Cardinals, a multitude of moves today, added him to the practice squad as you had reported yesterday. But also, as you discussed yesterday, that's not necessarily it for them at the tight end position.
No, they're going to continue to try to find, you know, a top-notch wide receiver. And I think they're willing to pay the price. You know, whether it's a fifth-round pick or even a third-round pick, if the guy, if it's, you know, they might, for a good player, if they can get one, I think that they might go to a third-round pick. Right now, you bring somebody in like Rodgers because he's got experience and because he's in shape and he's ready to go. But then you start to look. I mean, one of the guys that I liked, Hayden Hurst, apparently he's not available. I've checked on that today. I've checked on a lot of guys. You know, the Miami guy that you liked is, you know, more of a pass catcher and not a blocker, so that wouldn't fit what the Cardinals want. They're not really interested in Kyle Rudolph. The two Philly guys would be hard to get. They're not going to have a reunion with Dan Arnold. I mean, just, you know, it's one, you know, one of the things that I try to do is process of elimination.
Yeah.
And it's just there's a lot of tight ends to go through to try to find, you know, the guy that they would get. But I do expect that they will be active in trying to make a trade. Whether one happens or not, I can't tell you. But I do believe that they're going to be very active in trying to find a trade partner.
You'd like to think, it's funny, I'm just thinking about this, and you briefly mentioned this yesterday. You'd like to think that the Cardinals could get something done sooner rather than later so you can get that guy integrated into the system. But the trade deadline itself might not accommodate that, and here's why. The deadline is November 2nd. So we're still 3 weeks, give or take, away from the NFL trade deadline. Well, there haven't been enough teams in the NFL to establish themselves as sellers at this point. I mean, there's some bad teams in the NFL, but none of them, not a lot of them, that are bad enough to say, oh, that's it, forget it, we're not making the playoffs this year. You kind of, almost if you're the Cardinals, I would think you'd have to wait at least a little bit longer before some of these bad teams get even worse and recognize the situation they're in. Sellers. We got to get rid of some of our guys, you know?
Yeah. No, I always hate that because, like, me and you could go through it after five games, and I can tell you who's not going to make the playoffs.
Oh, of course.
You know?
Of course.
But I can look at the standings, and I can tell you, hey, you know what? The Jets and the Dolphins aren't making the playoffs. Steelers are not making the playoffs. The Jaguars and the Colts and the Texans, they're not making the playoffs. You know, I could say that. The Giants, they're not going to make the playoffs. The Lions, they're not making the playoffs. The Falcons, they're not making the playoffs. I mean, I could give you 12 teams right now that aren't going to make it. But you're probably right. Some of these teams, like, well, we still kind of think we're in it. We have a chance. No, you don't have a chance. No, you don't. You don't have a chance.
Look, I'm looking at this the upside down standings right now in the NFL. Dolphins.
That show come back.
I'm sorry.
When does that show come back?
What show? Oh, Stranger Things.
Stranger Things.
I think not until next year. It should have. Yeah, I think not until, I think COVID kind of shut down production on that show. I'm looking at Jordan to see if I can get a Stranger Things update.
I'm not sure, but at a certain point, are they going to carry this into young adulthood for these people?
Yeah, these young kids don't look like young kids anymore.
They're growing up.
The main guy, he's in that new Ghostbusters movie that's coming out in November. He doesn't look like a little kid anymore.
How long did they keep freaking Harry Potter going for? How many years was that going?
A long time. And I
remember when I was in England a couple of years ago, we went to the Harry Potter, like the studio where the whole thing was, it was incredible. We walked around everything. We saw everything that was there. We were in the studio for like hours.
Yeah.
In the Harry Potter studio. Those movies went on forever.
Yeah. What was that actor's name again? Daniel Radcliffe.
Idea.
Yeah. Daniel Radcliffe.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And I think they picked him in part because they thought even as he started to grow up, he would still kind of look like a little boy. But
yeah, he was like 32, still playing 14.
That's pretty tough to do. Anyway, Jacksonville's 0-5, Detroit's 0-5. Giants, Colts, Texans, Jets, and Dolphins, they're all 1-4. So that's, what, seven teams that are either 1-4 and or 0-5. I would agree with you that those teams would probably look at themselves in the mirror and say, you know what, we're going to be sellers. You're done. Everybody else who's better than that, and like half the league is sitting at either 2-3 or 3-2, they got to wait. They got to wait and see. They got to wait and see what they are. They got to wait and see what happens, what breaks, who they play, where their record is. And if they sell now, they run the risk of looking like they're waving a white flag too prematurely on the season, and their fan base is going to get pissed over that.
You know what you wait for, though? If you're a bad team, do you know what you wait for? You wait for an injury. Well, the Cardinals have one. Because an injury, you find a desperate team that's going to overpay you. So you wait for the injury. You don't trade with the team. I'd like to add some depth at this position, and we'll give you a sixth-round pick. No, you wait for a team that loses Max Williams, and then they're like, hey, you know what? We don't really have anybody behind him that's any good, and now you get a better pick.
Yeah.
So you always wait for the injury. Well, you have the injury now. You just got to make that determination that you're not a good football team, and you're out of it.
And that's why I'm surprised some of the names you've ruled out are some of the names that are from teams that are in this category, right? You've talked about T.J. Hawkinson. Now, he's the eighth pick in the draft a couple years ago.
Yeah, they're not trading him just because he's good, and they want him.
But Gesicki from the Dolphins, they're 1-4. That's the whole reason why I looked at him in the first place. So
yeah, but he doesn't fit what they're looking for because he doesn't block.
As this list expands and the closer we get to the deadline, I'll be curious to see how many more of these teams maybe change their minds about how actively they're going to be looking to sell their
You're
players.
Right. So I maybe mean, another, the Cardinals another can... law. Maybe this. Maybe the deal happens next week after some of these teams suffer another loss.
Yeah, maybe. When we come back, well, first of all, let me remind you that you can win a pair of tickets to the Phoenix Suns home opener, and that's good because we're just about to talk about the Suns. Text the word ticket to 620-620. Then listen for your name next Monday during the 7 a.m., 12 p.m., and 4 p.m. hours for your chance to win Suns home opener tickets. It's the return of the hottest tickets in town, and it's powered by FanDuel. Now, when we come back, speaking of the Suns, time is starting to run out for the two sides to reach an agreement. Will the Suns and DeAndre Ayton wrap up a contract extension before the start of the season? We'll talk about that coming up on the Burns and Gambo Show.